Just remind me to take an offering after the service tonight. Will you do that? Just remind me. All right, take your Bible, please, and go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, let's stand to read God's Word tonight. I'll preach fast. You listen fast. We'll get out of here fast. Amen. All right, Psalm 86, beginning of verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. This passage we're getting to listen in on one of God's saints who's entered into the throne room of heaven and is coming in the immediate presence of God, his Savior and King. Let me tell you something, that's a wonderful place to be. In my prayer time in the morning, I thank God for allowing me to come into his holy throne room. You see, that was not ever possible for except 2,000 years ago. The high priest would go in and do the praying for everybody else and do the bloodletting for everybody else. And pour it on the Holy of Holies seat. But today the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. I want to talk to you about God's mercy tonight. I'm going to read a little bit more. Just think of that man is praying and we're getting to listen in. It's kind of like going to a baseball game, looking in that little hole in the fence. You just kind of get to peek. And this is kind of looking out the window a little bit. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. What a wonderful promise. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any words like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. I want you to really carefully look at this. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast opened me. This means helped me, and comforted me. God, I pray tonight that we'd be a blessing to help and encouragement. Help us, Lord Jesus, when we do go through the trials and heartaches of our lives, that we understand that there's a God that hears me. There's a God that loves me. If you can count all the stars in the sky and call them all by name, and if you can name all the hairs of the head of every person, and you know the names of every person, you can see them where they lay down, where they get up, you certainly know about us. So help us to remember that. God, help us also to remember that you want us to call upon your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sir Walter Riley asked a favor of Queen Elizabeth, which he frequently did, to which she replied, Raleigh, When will you leave off your begging? And Rabbi says, when your majesty leaves off your giving. God is not hampered by our prayers. Someone said to me, says, I gave my cell phone number. I said, oh, Pastor, I just don't want to bother you. I said, hey, I know I'm old enough to answer it. I'm old enough to, not right now. I'm old enough to get back to you. It's okay. You can call me anytime. I may not be in a position to answer you. I had a man call me the other day. I was talking to the sheriff about some very important things that are going on, and my phone rang, and I just hit the button. It's cool on my button. You hit a button that says, I can't talk to you right now. But I get back to you. Thank God, God is, there's no interruption for God. When you call upon Him, He hears you. He answers your prayers. Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He said, just watch. It's going to happen. Amen. God's going to answer you. Last night, had a very difficult situation. A little girl from our church got away from her parents, and they're new to this area, didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, people are looking all over. Police are called and trying to find the little one, teenager girl. And I got on my motorcycle. I can see better instead of sitting in a vehicle. I got my motorcycle and I headed towards her area. And I said, dear God, you've always given me wisdom in something like this. I don't know how many people, the people said, hey, we can't find someone. I said, just let me go. And God just kind of leads me there. We had a lady in our church years ago that took a bottle of pills with her, and she's going to go. I got in my car with Marcia, and we started praying and pulled her up to her car before she'd taken one of them. So I said the last night, I said, God, you've helped me this before. You help me again. This little girl, all she has a little green tank top on, and she doesn't know the city. And I wept on my bike. And it just seemed like to God, just there was nothing. Come find out. She had walked to the police station. She saw the police station, walked in. And they called Mom and Dad. And just when I was getting kind of closer, I realized that God says, hey, it's already taken care of, you know. And but I was praying. I was begging God. I was sure I was going to find her. Amen. I was thanking God that He was going to let us find her. And she did. Nothing happened. And just praise the Lord. And she just got lost. That was all her problem was. The Bible says, Mark chapter 13:33, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. There's a lot of things go on in our life. We're not sure what time this is right now. I don't know what time this is in my life. You know what time this is in your life? This thing is going to happen in your life, you have no idea. 3 weeks ago when I was playing the sportsman's camp, oh man, I've been playing for a year, but 3 weeks I was really getting in the, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know who I was going to take care of my precious. And, all of a sudden, Julie Donahue came on board and said, preacher, I can take care of her Thursday until, and then our little friend Amanda says, preacher, you know, I really want to help you. I said, hey, how'd you like to come stay at our house from Thursday night, Friday night, and almost all day Saturday? So I would love to. That's why, you know, God answers prayer. And then this week, I'm going crazy, Charlotte said that, hey, they were thinking about coming over. I said, come on. And she said, I just want to come and help you. Little did I know that, you know, we were having our ladies meeting, and I just thought I'd just drag Mama here, you know. And praise the Lord. You know, God answers our prayers, even though that we don't know what our prayers are going to be. There's some things that are going to happen tomorrow that you ought to be prayed up and remember that God is with you and is going to take care of you. The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's some temptations going to come in your life this week. And boy, there's some things in this week that you're just going to wish you never had to go through. But God knows about those things, and He promised to help you. So He says this. He said, hey, watch and pray. Just watch and pray. Watch and pray. See what's going on and pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. You know, prayer can obtain anything. It can open the windows of heaven, and it can also shut the gates of hell. It can put a holy constraint upon God and detain an angel till he leaves blessings upon you. It can open the treasures of rain. It can soften the rocks, ribs of, it can soften the iron ribs of rocks. It can melt into the flowing rivers. It can attest the sun in its course and send the winds upon the errands. It can weaken the bars of prison, and it can open wide the gates. A royal subject clothed in gorgeous attire is far less magnificent than a kneeling beggar distinguished and dressed up by communion with God. There's nothing like that. Consider how wonderful a privilege it is to pray. Number one, angels are present. That's what the Bible says when we pray. Secondly, the archangel thrown around. Cherubims and seraphims encircle with the blaze of the throne. Think of it. We mortals may and can approach the almighty throne room of heaven and with unrestrained confidence and converse with heaven's almighty sovereign. Do you want to get a time to go see the president today? I doubt it. He's probably golfing. But anyway, be pretty difficult. Be pretty difficult. Even you guys that work for him. Be pretty difficult to go see the president today. But I can fall on my face and fall on my knees and say, "Dear God, I need your help right now." And we can be like, how many remember President Kennedy when his little boy used to come into the Oval Office? You remember those times? He'd just walk right in. I mean, they were talking about the Cuban situation. Here comes that little stinky kid, walk right to it. He's coming into his daddy's office. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. That's my Heavenly Father, and he told me that I can call him Abba Father. And I can come to him any time, and I can find mercy in time of need. Sometimes we call up other people and say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" Bless God, why don't you pray yourself? Say, "Dear God, I need your help. I'm in trouble. I'm in need. I'm being tempted. I don't want to do this. Lord, you got to help me this. Lord, I don't know what I should do here. Should I move or should I not move? Should I go here or should I go not go there? Should I buy this or not buy this?" More trouble gets in place when we don't ask those questions before we do those things. What honor we have that we can confide in the Holy Almighty Sovereign. What honor is there to confer on anyone like this? Look at the Muslims. Muhammad called prayer the pillar of religion, the key of paradise, requires his followers to pray 5 times every 24 hours. Before sunset, a little past noon, before sunset, after dark. At these times, the muezzin cries from the steeples of the mosque to prayer, O ye faithful. And every voluntary prayer towards the temple of Mecca, if participants in clad costly robes, adorned in rich jewels, they lay them before they pray, lest they should seem proud of dressing their quote-unquote, I call him the Satan, they call him God. He enjoys the cultivation of true spirit of prayer as well as the faithful observing that form. God have mercy that these heathen pray to a dead god or a god of idols. And boy, they're faithful to it. Yet we Christians give our real God nothing. Like the illustrator said, the worldling piles his prayer as a savior do in the pumps. When the ship begins to leak and the storm rages, then they begin to rear back and pump those pumps instead of and afraid that they'll lose the cargo on those ships. That's what most people are praying. Hebrews chapter 6:10, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. First of all, the thoughts that strike me as David takes his right place, he bows down. As though he says, I am a worm, not a man. I cannot claim an audience. If I wouldest be heard, thou must bow down thine ear as a tender father to catch what the little child has to say. I was watching that sweet little girl there come in. She waved at me when she came in. And she was kind of sitting on the outside, mama, just like a little cat just shoved her in between them, amen. I thought, that is so cute. Isn't that the way we are, amen? She didn't do it meanly. She just let her know where she was supposed to. Then they made her sing. I'm teaching that child how to behave herself in church. Now she's sleeping. Now she's just learning everything else that everybody else knows. Amen. I want you to look at the fours of this passage. For I am poor and needy. If we come to God at all, we must come as beggars. There are two words in the Greek language that indicate poverty, and they indicate respectable poverty and poverty of a man in humble circumstances who is working hard just to get his bread. The other signifies barely. It's the state of a man who has got nothing, who is utterly bankrupt. In deciding this particular kind of poverty-stricken, in describing this kind of person, he receives our God as a user of the word to indicate an object of bankruptcy, unless we come into the divine presence of the person as a pauper, or the pauper, we cannot get a blessing. I try to imagine when I'm praying that it's overwhelming to me that to think that a human being, a mortal, can come into the presence of an immortal. And that the Bible says the worm, you read it, talks about the worm. I really believe that's what it means, the spirit. The worm dieth not. All of us have a spirit. And when a man dies in Christ, His worm has everlasting life forever with God, and he'll never leave it. But a man who dies in his sins also has a worm, and a worm will never die. Punishment forever. People have no concept of that. I can't even imagine it. Notice the second four, preserve my soul, for I am holy. The first four was for bankruptcy. The second is for the saint. There is no contradiction here. In our own moral character, a poor beggar grumbling in the dust, in God's own divine purpose, sometimes nobler than the brightest spirit that stands around his throne, heir of God and joint heirs of Christ, abound in the everlasting deity, and by an indissoluble bond, God says, you're my child. You're my child. And third, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. When I do my prayer at home, I always type in the date that I pray. And that's kind of telling. With this ladies' conference going on, I noticed that I had missed the prayer time. I guarantee you, I was praying all the time, but I didn't have that particular prayer time. And it kind of frustrated me. But you know, God reminded me, he said, son, just put the new date on there and get praying. Let's get on with life. Just get on with life. Just get with it. You pray. Sometimes you don't always talk to certain people every day. I think it's an awful good idea to talk to God every day. Well, I'll tell you, he'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. He'll keep you from failing and keep you from going against the principles of the Word of God. But it's still frustrating when you forget. Or you don't forget. You just, sometimes it ain't there. Sometimes you have to pray late at night because your precious is expecting you to do some things. You mamas know what I'm talking about. You clean that house. You do it when they're sleeping. You can't do it when they're awake. It takes you 5 hours to clean that thing up. Take 30 seconds for them little tricycle motors to tear the place up. Now, would somebody say amen to that? The Bible also notices the fourthfold, rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The psalmist begins asking the Lord, bow down thine ear unto me. But he goes on till he gets to such a point of believing expectation that he dares to lift up his soul in the presence of God. It is lifted up in order that he may become a partaker of God's joy. God is in the center of eternal joy. At thy right hand, listen now, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, by the way, I got another one here, all right? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. We are so poor in our mercy. You give me somebody that's merciful, and I want to be around them. You get me somebody that has no mercy, I'm going to get in my truck and I'm going to drive as far as I can away from them. I want to be around people that are unmerciful. That was a wonderful thing about Mrs. Evans. She could spot you a mile away, and she would, you know, she'd cut your head off, and you wouldn't know it until you spit, and it was, you know, it was gone. She's the sweetest person you ever met that would give you a good whooping. Without even knowing you got a good whooping until you backed away, and oh my goodness, it was burning back there. She had a way of being so merciful, but she always had justice. There's always truth. Oh, I hope you mamas learn that. I hope you'd be merciful to your children. You see, your children are watching you, and you're God to them. Fathers, the way you treat your child is the way he thinks God will treat him. Listen to me now. You want to be very careful that we do not destroy their will. I know some of them have to go to the woodshed a lot. I understand that. You're looking at one. I was tanned so many times they could hung that thing up in the living room, amen. But always with love. My mother never disciplined me without telling me that she loved me, and she did this not because she hated me. She said, son, I love you. You're my only boy. But bless God, I'm going to make you behave yourself because one of these days I'm not going to be there. Then she warmed me up. Then she told me she loved me. Sometimes I wondered. But she did. She really loved me. She loved me. She was willing to take the chance of disciplining me. The riches of God's mercy lies in this point. The Lord never gives mercy until he has been called. That's real mercy. His favor. shall only be received for those who will call upon him and take them, and thus the blessing is doubled. Dear God, I need your help. Okay, I'll help you. There's some people in this room that have no idea what I'm talking about. You just live day after day after day after day, same old, troubles and sorrows, heartaches, beat up every day, instead of saying, "Whoa, Lord, bow down thy ear and hear me. I am needy. I've got to have you. I can't make this thing without you. It ain't going to happen." We get so strong-willed and so, "Well, I'm going to do it no matter what." Why don't you do what God wants you to do? Someone said, "I just don't want to get beat up." I told him, I said, "Let me tell you something. I don't know a person that doesn't get beat up. I don't know a person that does not have troubles. I don't know a person that does not have sorrow." Let me ask this question tonight just to straighten everything out. How many of you this last week had some kind of trouble? Would you raise your hand? You didn't have any trouble this week? Oh, you didn't raise your hand. She had trouble now. She lied to the preacher, and God's going to get her. All of us had trouble. I'm just telling you, all of us had trouble. All of us had to answer a phone call that we didn't want to answer. All of us had to have someone that was a raving idiot on the other side of the phone trying to tell us what, you know. And you're going like, and your brain is spinning. And all of a sudden you say, "God, have mercy on me and help me not to say what I should say." I mean, that we... Huh? Yeah. That's where we are. And that's where we come to God and say, "Dear God, you're going to handle this for me. I'm laying this to your feet and I'm running. I'm going to give this thing to you. I'm getting out of here. I can't handle this right now." Somebody says, "Pastor, I cry all the time." Y'all, thank God you cry. Are you being Looney Tune institution? That's why God gives you those tears. You're to weep before God. You're to come before him and say, "Dear God." I remember when I was at Pillsbury Basketball College and you guys talk about me being the tough football player. I missed home so bad I couldn't stand it. I'd play out there and I'd growl like an old grizzly bear and I'd just pound people and but when I got into my dorm room and the lights were off, I pulled my covers off my head. I was so homesick for my farm. You know these farmers, as tough as it is, we still love the old farm. You can take the boy out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy. And I'd cry. They got me through. They got me through. I didn't want anybody else to know I was doing that, but I cried. I was weary of being away from my mama. I was weary away from being with my dad, who gave me so much latitude and let me be a young man. I'm wearied about that. I didn't miss my old sister very much, but yeah, I kind of did because she went away to college and she became my best friend. But boy, when I was a little guy, boy, she was, oh boy. You know how I'm talking about. That's right, brother. I hope tonight that you go home and just trust God. Everything comes up, just pray. Pray. "Lord, God, help me in this thing. Help me in this thing. I don't understand it. I don't know how to do it." Some of you people, some of you haven't had a baby before. You're going to have a baby. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. Some of you have had them before and you know what's going to happen. Some of you never put a kid in kindergarten before. Now you have it in kindergarten. And then some of them, you put your first kid. Some of you put the last one in. You say, "Good night. This is it." You never been down that way before. Some of you sent the last one off to college, and you're going, "Boy, it's so quiet in here." Now those days come, and you know which way to go, because we've never been there before. You can read all the books and everything you want, but I'll tell you something. Real life is real life. And you find out the real things of life. And that's why we have a God who loves us and cares for us and says, "Hey, come on, cast your care upon me, but I care for you. It's okay, I'm gonna get you through this thing. I'm going to get you through this thing. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you know our needs, and they're great. And Lord, would you please speak to us, Lord, that we would trust in you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and you say, Preacher, there's some things in my heart, in my life, that I just don't know which way to turn. And God has really spoken to me. Some of you ladies, God spoke to you from these dear ladies who came and spoke to you this week. And boy, don't waste that. Write it down. Remember it. Put it someplace. Remind yourself. Father, speak now. And let the servants hear you.